Okay. Whew. All right, so I think actually started working on something here that was interesting. Then I realized we sort of already passed it, or at least it said we had already passed it, or sort of already skipped over it. We're actually going back to Simon Shin Yud, also a sort of seems like a localized Bechoros topic, but actually is extrapolated for some significant halachos outside of the immediate vicinity of the laws of Bechor, Behema, Tahora. So the so we mentioned before that in order to shecht this animal, right, this animal is Kedushas Bechor, so the only way that one could shecht it is if it is deemed to have gotten a mum. So you have to establish that it has a mum. So the previously in Simon Shin Tes, so we learned it has to be sort of an obvious mum. It can't be a less than obvious mum. And then you'll learn later that it's you need to have special a special smicha in order to be able to judge it, which we don't really have today anymore. So rather, you need to have some other type of mechanism in order to establish that you are correct. And it's a pretty arduous process to be able to prove that this animal actually has a mum. So the here the tour deals with in Simon Shin Yud about what happens if you sort of skipped that process. So you shechted the bechor. The Torah says, Shalom al pi chacham, right? You didn't ask a chacham first. Afilu ima reyu acher kach l'chacham, even if you show it to a chacham afterwards, and he finds a mum there, imhu dok sheva ayin v'chiyotzi bo she'enu chisar b'gufa l'chuli alma yekaver. He says, if it's even if you show it to you shecht it and then you show it to a kohen somebody afterwards and he says look at that, it's got a cataract in the eye, so that doesn't help because that could have easily come about because of the death, so that doesn't prove that it actually had a mum kavua when you shechted it. And if it is a actual mum of chisaron, meaning it's missing an arm, so Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine, and Rabbi Meir says no, it's usser. And then there's a machlokas how we pask in between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So how do we normally pask in between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, or between Rabbi Meir really and anybody? What?
Rabbi Yehuda.
So we pask in always against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir seems to be passing. We seem to regularly pask in against Rabbi Meir. Now it's not totally true because the Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So we do pask in like plain Mishnayos, but when Rabbi Meir is mentioned on his own, so we generally don't pask in like Rabbi Meir. There is one exception to that rule, and that is discussed here in the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef here says, quotes us from a Mishnah in Perek Ad Kama, right? Hashochet, the Beis Yosef here, Hashochet as a Bechor, Umares Mumo, and you show the Mum, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Meir Omer Hol V'Nishchat Shelo Al Pimumcha Aser. So Rabbi Meir says, well, because you shechted it not based on Imumcha and without the permission, so therefore it's Aser. So that raises the question. So why is Rabbi Meir assering it? Is Rabbi Meir assering it because, well, that you might really have a problem there, meaning there's no real way of knowing, and therefore we can't figure that out? Or perhaps, and this is what it sounds like, Rabbi Meir is imposing some kind of knas here. Right? Because you went ahead and shechted this animal without showing it to a chacham first, so therefore we're going to put a knas on you. And even if it's something that we can ascertain was definitely a problem, so we're going to rule that the animal is no good. So, and that sounds like it's a takana, a gezeira, something along those lines. So the Gemara there says, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Bedukin Sheba'ayin, Kuli Amalu Pligi Das. Well, if it comes to a cataract, so that everybody would agree is a problem. Why? Because Mifnei Shehein Mishtanin, because maybe it changed after the Shechita took place. Lunechliku El B'mumin Sheba'guf, if it's a guf issue. Rei Meir Savar Gazrinan Mumin Sheba'guf Atu Dukin Sheba'ayin. The Rei Meir says, well, we make a gezeira that the mum on a guf we're going to aser because of the potential for cataracts in the eye, because of the cataracts in the eye issue, right? And therefore, and we don't want to get into a place of having all the rabbanim paskening after the fact what they think happened. We're just going to say no, across the board, no good. And Rabbi Yehuda Sever, no, lo gasrin, there's no such gezeira. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masdisa Nami Deket Ketani. Truth is, you could read that into the Mishnah. Hol v'nishchad shelo al pi mumcha. Aser shamami aser, that because you shechted it not based on a mumcha, we're going to aser it not because it's aser, not because it didn't actually have a mum, but because you did the shechita without the mumcha signing off on it, therefore we're going to aser it, right? And regardless of whether you can prove it or not. So Shema Minah Knasahu Dekanis Rabbi Meir. Therefore, we see that it's a knas that Rabbi Meir imposed. Great. So now we have that really just established the machlukas, right? Rabbi Meir said we make this gezera, and Rabbi Yehuda says there's no such gezera. So v'chasav arash midkari le hacha knasa, from the fact that we call this a knas, alma knasa havi v'lo gezera. Therefore, it's a knas and not a gezera, right? That's what the Gemara concluded. Shema Aminat used the word knasa. Now, this the room just become much darker.
You're much more dramatically outlined now.
Okay, those terms of gezeira or takana actually now become very key words. So the Rush says midkari lahacha knasa. What?
You said takana. Is it a knas?
Sorry, knas versus gezeira. Those are the two words that we're tossing around. So the Rush says, well, we call it a knas, therefore it's a knas and not a gezeira. Upasak b'she'iltos ravachai the lacha grabi meir b'gezeiro sav v'lo b'knaso sav. And in the she'iltos of Rav Achai, so he says he has principles of psak there, and he says, yeah, we possibly Rabbi Meir for his gezeros, but not for his knasos. Now, that's not exactly what we had. But remember, the Gemara first used the term gezera, right? About eight lines down into the Beis Yosef, it's savar gazrinan mumin shebeguf atudukan shebeayin. But then at the end, it says knasa hu dekanis Rabbi Meir. So is it a gezera or a knas? So the shilto says we pass like Rabbi Meir only in gezeros and not in knasos. And the Rush says, well, the Gemara concluded by saying it was a knas. Therefore, is a knas is a knas and not a gezera. And therefore, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. In which case, these animals should be mutter b'di'evet. V'chein pasak mar Shmuel ben Tifni ubal hilchos pasak Rabbi Meir. However, the Bahag paskins like Rabbi Meir. The chashiv le gezera, plus he considers a gezera. V'chein yir milashin habraisa v'knasa de ka'amar tamuda lavdafka. Right, really, it sounds like a gezera, and the fact that the braisa called it a knas is lavdafka. That's not a that wasn't being specific. V'chein das haramban. And it brings a proof, the fact that it says, because it was, I don't really get the diktuk here, but the fact that it said, v'nishchat, that it was shechted, and it doesn't say, v'shachtu, that I guess he shechted it? So mashma, afilu shachtu acher, even if somebody else shechted it, it would still be a problem. Meaning, what if it was never brought, and someone else came along and shechted it? So are we going to put a knas on the owner of the animal? So if it was a knas, we would say no, plus he didn't do anything wrong. But if it was a gezeira, so then we would. And that seems to be the way that he assumes here. V'halu shayach knasa el gezeira. Therefore, we're going to use gezeira. V'chein pasuk Rambam perkim lehilchos b'choros v'halchi nechtinam. And that is actually how we assume. Okay, so that is number one, that we assume that and we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, the halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'gzeirusav, that is the general principle. And even though it's a little bit vague whether this is a gzeir or whether it's a takana, that's ultimately how we paskin in this Gemara. So if we take a look now, I guess page 2 or 3 in the Shulchan Aruch itself, Sif Shin Yud, so that seems to be the way we paskin, right? Hashochet es habachor shelo al pi chacham afilu harei lachacham achar kach. Even if you show it to a talmud chacham afterwards and he finds a mum, aser, it's aser. Vuadim is man hazeh im lo haru l'shlosh b'nei knesses. And the same thing would be applied today if you didn't show it to the three people gathered to look at it, which maybe we'll get to a little bit later who those three people are. Beis is hashochet habachor shelo al pi mochas. So if you went ahead and did it, umachru va'achluhu machzir lehem adamim. Lo achluhu yikaver v'yachzir lehem dam. So then, this is that's actually the next topic. So hold off on that for a second. Yeah. So the Piskei Tshuva here on the bottom points out, just two quick notes here, I am Beshuvas Birs Avram, Shekasav Delo Amrinan Lesser Dieved, Rak Bin Nishchata Shaloa Pimumcha. We don't say that it's a problem b'diavad only if it was shechted not with the mumcha. Aval b'yachid mumcha shiral atzmo. But if he was a yachid mumcha who looked at his own animal, so that tam de'ino roel atzmo humishum chashada lumatzin lahachmir b'diavad. In that case, we're not going to be machmir b'diavad. Meaning there might be a special halacha that a person shouldn't look at their own animals because they might be tempted to lay astray. But the Pesukei Teshuvah is pointing out that that's not the same. That's not the same gzera. I mean, the gzera like Rabbi Meir that if it wasn't shown to a chacham first, we're going to say it's a problem. But if you yourself were the chacham, yes, it's true, you're not supposed to be the one to judge on it, but you did it. Now, it's hard to imagine that you're such a big chacham of what it looks like, but you don't remember this halacha that you're not supposed to paskin the halacha for yourself. But anyways, assuming that's the case, so the Pesukei Teshuvah paskin said we don't have to be machir on that person, even b'diavad. And then he says, "Bhu adim b'zman hazeh, I'm b'shalshu meir nesivim, da kelim shenishtamshu bo basar zeh, tzrichim hechsher kedin, kol iser shenishtamesh b'kelim." He says, what about, does it mean you have to kasher the kelim afterwards? Is that considered to be completely treif? So he says, yeah. And that's the general approach that we have, really, across the board. That if there's something that is really completely kosher, but also because of a some kind of din derabanan, so we assume that you have to kosher the kelim, right? So what's the classic example of that? So probably bishalakum. Or something like, right, Bishalakum is purely a din derabanan, but yet we assume that if you go ahead and violate something in terms of Bishalakum, so the kalim would require kashering afterwards. Okay, so that's halacha number one. So halacha number two then is sif beis. So let's say you shechted the bechor, shelo al pi mumcha, so you did the wrong thing, umachru vahachluhu, and you sold it and someone ate it. Okay, so you own the animal, you shech laser wolf, right? He has a bechor, he shechs it, and someone from Anatevka buys it, and they ate it. And then they go to the rabbi Shir, and right, and he says, he learned this halacha, and he looks at Laser Wolf and says, "Hey, Laser, I know what you sold me was a bechor, but was it? Did you ever have it checked out?" And Laser says, "Gevalt, I didn't. I was too busy trying to chase after Zeitel, right? So I got confused, and I didn't have it checked." So the guy says, "Well, great. I want my money back, right? Because I didn't realize I was buying a gzeirah animal, right? The animal should have been checked. It wasn't checked. But Belazer says, what do you mean? It was missing a leg, right? It clearly had a mum." To which the person says, well, the rule is you need to have a chacham look at it, right? You can't just make your own judgment on it. So therefore, you owe me the money. So you owe me the money back. So machzir lehem hadamim lo achluhu, and if he didn't eat it yet, yikaver v'yachzir lehem hadamim. So then he would have to bury it, meaning if he hasn't yet eaten it yet, so the townsfolk in the in Anatevka, so he wouldn't be able to eat it, and then he would have to bury it, and he would get the money back, right? But in both cases, he gets the money back, even if he ate it already. He gets his money back. So this gets into the interesting issue of buying and selling things that have a spiritual problem with it. So what is the problem? Meaning at this point, the guy ate the food already. What did that guy violate? Right, the guy that ate it. Right, so did he do anything wrong? Or is he supposed to, like, is he looking now and saying that anything was done wrongly at this point?
What's the guy benefit from it?
So what?
He got benefit.
He got benefit from it, right? But he didn't do anything wrong, right? He Laser Wolf is has a valid heksher from the Anatevka Vada Kashrus, and he just did it, right? He assumed everything was up to snuff, right? Everything was fine, and now all of a sudden he turns out that it wasn't fine. So what's the din in that case? So the truth is, maybe skip ahead a little bit. I think page 4 or 5. There's a page from the Nesivos.
So wait a second. If an animal has a mum, can it be kosher? Like if it's missing.
Yeah, so missing a leg, I was exaggerating. I think if it's missing a leg, it might be a trefa. I'm not sure, but some kind of mum that does not make it a trefa. So the examples are, it has like a totally split ear, right? Or it's something is wrong with its tail. Its tail is cut off or something. So those are not trefa things. Those are missing an eye, I think, might be one of the examples here.
A cataract would be kosher still, right?
Yes, a cataract for sure would be kosher, but a cataract is an example of a mum that we can't justify at this point. But something else that is on the outside that clearly was a mum on its own, so that would be good. I mean, you could look at an animal right now and see. It could be the missing part, because the truth is it does... In Simon Shun Tess, above where we are, it does quote a couple of possible things that would be considered to be mum nicker, and it doesn't. Assumption is that it does not make it a trefa. So one of the examples given is that it has part of its leg cut. Now, I'm not sure if that means... Okay. I think missing might be different than broken. If it's broken, maybe it's a trefa, but if it's missing, it's not. I don't know. That's a Yordaya Chelik Aleph issue, which we... Maybe one day we'll get back to. So, anyways, so that is the so something like that. So it's not treif. It is kosher. The guy eats it. So is that okay? So it seems. So if we go to I think page 5. So the page looks like this. I'm not sure what page it is on the notes. Right, like this. So we've seen this before. 5, 6, 4.
Looks like page 5.
5. Okay.
Simon a mocher davar isur v'achlo lokeach. That's what we're looking at?
Yeah. So the... So Simon Reish Lama Dalad, this is Choshe Mishmat. This is the pages of the Nesivus. There's a very famous Nesivus here, which we've covered before. But good to do Chazara on this. So the... So in Sif Gimel, Reish Lama Dalad, Sif Gimel... It says, "Aval hamochel chaveru davar sheisur achila so midivrei sofrim," that if you sell something to somebody that has an isur d'rabbanan attached to it, imayu aperos kayamim machzir haperos v'notel damav. So if whatever it is still exists, there's some kind of isur d'rabbanan on it, then you know you bought the fruit. Then it turns out it was orla fruit. Well, I don't know. It has to be a din d'rabbanan. So it turns out it was I don't know truma d'rabbanan. I don't know, something that we would assume, bishul akum, right, that was the problem. So, imhayu apirus kayamim, so if whatever it is, that food that's only an isur d'rabbanan, if it still exists, machzir haperos v'notol damav, you return the fruit, right, you can't eat it, so you return the fruit, and you get your money back. V'im achlam, but if you ate it already, achal, v'im achlam achal, v'ein hamocher machzir lo klum, but if he ate it already, and the seller doesn't have to give him back anything. Right? And the Roa even adds in, Macher lo mi behema shelo nivdaka karoi, if you sold from an animal that wasn't checked appropriately, havi ki sur midivrei sofrim, shreha badika hi midivrei sofrim. Right? The idea that you have to check the animal really is only a din d'rabbanan. So if you are eating the animal that wasn't checked, that's really only an isser d'rabbanan. D'oraisa, you could assume based on the rove that most animals are kusher, not trefa. So therefore, that's also an isser d'rabbanan. So the implication being that if you eat an animal that wasn't checked appropriately, so you and you ate it already, so if you found out later that it wasn't checked okay, you can't ask for your money back because you got hana from whatever you ate. But if it was an issur d'oraisa, so then you would be able to, right? Even if you ate it already, you would be able to. So the Nesivus explains, this is why this halacha is very famous, plus this comment that the Nesivus makes. So he says, "B'shachbi yerdeya simen kufyu tes pasak, dafilu hamotar mishivyov ein svarach lahachzir ayin sham." That even if it's worth more than its value, so then you wouldn't have to return it. Okay, I'm not sure what that's referring to. But l'chora comes the Nesivus and says, "Ein amuvan, I don't understand any of this." Right? Kevan dehamekach bal batel have a kemazik o ka'ochel shelo b'mekach v'lami yitzdarech l'shalim yosem ishv... more than it's worth. Yeah, but that's... One second. Oh, I mean, you might have to pay back more than it's worth. So the Nesivu says, I don't. Why should that be? That if it was a mekach batel, so then you should have a kemazik. Then the person's like damaged or ka'ochel shelo b'mekach, or it was like food that wasn't involved in the sale. Why should he have to pay back more than it's worth? So v'efshar comes the Nesivus and builds up this principle. He says v'efshar da'af to be surei Torah afilu ochlen b'shogeg tzarech kapara v'tshuva lahagin al hayisurim. Mikol makom be'isid derabanan ein tzarech shum kapara v'chi'ilu lo avardami. He says when it comes to an isid deraisa, so if you whatever you ate, and if you ate something b'shogeg, so you are in violation of eating something b'shogeg, and you have a problem now. Right? Even if you did it b'shogeg, you did it totally by accident, and it had a good heksher on it, and whatever you did was fine, still you have a problem, right? You have to klap al chait. You have to ask for tshuva based on what you did as a because you violated issur d'oraisa, even though it was b'shogeg. Mikol makom, he says, b'issur d'rabanan. Ain tzarech shum kapara. If you violate an iser derabanan b'shogeg, you don't require any kapara. You don't require any atonement. V'chilu avredami, right? As if you didn't violate anything. Teda dahadar mina be'irvin daf tzamach zayin b'derabanan avdinan uvda v'hadar musvinan tiyufta v'ilu haya nenash ala shogeg heya chayu manichin lo lavro l'kabel onesh. He gives an example from Gemara in Irvin. That where it says that, you know, what's done is done, and you know, and we're not going to resolve anything. But if he's punished for shogeg, so then how could he have left him, etc.? I mean, all right, I'll leave that part. But what is this principle here? So his principle is that an iser b'shogeg, right? What is an iser d'rabanan? If something is aser mid d'rabanan, so what have you violated? So you haven't violated the prohibition of eating something. It's not an issue of what you ate. It's an issue that you didn't listen to the rabbis. So not listening to the rabbis is something that you can only violate b'mezid. You can't violate it b'shogeg, right? If you violate eating treif b'shogeg, so you've eaten treif, but you've eaten it b'shogeg. If you've eaten bishul akum b'shogeg, so eating bishul akum b'mezid is not a violation of what you ate, it's a violation of not listening to the rabbis. So not listening to the rabbis is something that can only be violated b'mezid and can't be violated b'shogeg. So therefore comes the Nesivus and says, yes, it's true, if you have this food that is an iser midrabanan, so and you haven't eaten it yet, so you're not allowed to eat it. Right, so now you have this food, you're not allowed to eat it, so now you go back to the person you bought it from and say, hey, I bought this food to eat, and now I can't eat it, what's an iser d'rabanan, you owe me my money back. Right, and if he ate, and if it was something that was an iser d'oraisa, and he ate it b'shogeg, you go to the guy and say, hi, I bought this food off of you, and I wasn't allowed to eat it. And now it's causing me all these spiritual problems. I'm going to have to go and klap al chait, and it's going to give me agmas nefesh, and it's going to cause me all this, all these problems I'm going to have to worry about, right? So give me the money back for the meat, right? In which case he's going to owe you the money. But if you come back to him and say, hey, I didn't intend to violate an issur d'rabanan, and you caused me to violate an issur d'rabanan, so the guy will say, well, so what? Right? You didn't violate an issur d'rabanan. The issur d'rabanan is not listening to the rabbis. You listen to the rabbis, right? You don't want to eat bishul akum, right? The rabbis say that you should trust in OU, you trusted in OU. I cheated it, right? I cheated the system. It really was issur d'rabanan, but you didn't do anything wrong. And not only did you not do anything wrong, but you enjoyed the chulent that I sold you, right? So therefore, you have no tainas on me anymore once that food is already eaten. That's the principle here of the Nesivos. Now, not everybody agrees to it, but it's a pretty solid,
pretty major
principle. Yes, yes. So this Nesivos is held up. And whenever an Eruv falls on Shabbos, this is where this Nesivus comes into play, right? An Eruv falls down on Shabbos, so the question of do you announce it or not in the shul. So many argue that you shouldn't announce it, And not be, if some people have the impression that, oh, if an Erev falls, once an Erev is up in the beginning of Shabbos, the Erev is up. So that's not correct. The only thing that that is somewhat correct for is if the Erev Chatzeros is eaten on Shabbos, it's there for the rest of Shabbos, right? If you eat the box of matzahs over Shabbos, so that's fine. That you're allowed to do. But if the Erev falls, the Erev falls, right? So then you have a problem. But if nobody knows about it, so our assumption is for city-wide Erevin that it's only an issue of Hotzah D'Rabbanan. If it was an issue of Hotzah D'Oraisa, we wouldn't be able to set up Erevin the way that we did. So the assumption is that everything is only an issue D'Rabbanan. So it's only an issue D'Rabbanan, so therefore better not to tell anybody, right? If you don't tell anybody, so then, yes, it's true, everybody's violating an Issur D'Rabbanan, but only violating an Issur D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg. And there's no such thing, according to this Nesivos, as violating an Issur D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, right? The concept doesn't exist. So therefore, just keep your mouth shut and don't tell anybody. That is the that is one of the reasons for those on the side of saying that the that you shouldn't tell anybody if the Erev is discovered to be down over Shabbos. Right? That's this. That's where this Nesivos is most often held up. Now, the truth is, if you go down one more halacha here in the Shulchan Aruch here in Choshen Mishpat, he does add in Kol Isser Hana Bein Medivrei Torah Bein Medivrei Sofrim Machzir Es Hadamim Ve'Ein Behem Din Mechira Klal. He says, by the way, though, if it's an Isser Hana, whether it's an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan, you have to return the money, and there's no din of mechira then at all, right? And that then becomes the key to understanding our sugya over here. But if we pull this back to Simon Shin Yud Sif Beis, again, even according to Rabbi Meir, what is the problem with eating this meat? Right, the problem with eating this meat is that it's a gezeira or a knas. But well, we say it's a gezeira. Therefore, we pass like Rabbi Meir and say that even if the animal you shechted the animal without you figure better to apologize than to ask permission. So in this case, it's not better to apologize than to ask permission, because even if you can look afterwards and say, hey, look, you see, it's missing an arm or part of an arm or missing a tail, and therefore it has a mum, right? And therefore it was good all along. Still, apparently we put a knas on you and say, sorry, right? We don't want people just judging on their own whether the animal is has a mum or not. So therefore, sorry, we're not going to allow you to eat this meat. So therefore, what about if you, so therefore Siv Beis is, what if you go ahead and sell it and the guy eats it? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you have to return the money. So wait a second, asks the Taz, or the Taz leaves us out as the question, why do you have to return the money? Right, why should you have to return the money? The whole thing is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. If it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, that seems to go against the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, where it says that if you sold somebody something that was Issur D'Rabbanan and they ate it already, you don't have to return the money. So why all of a sudden here are we saying that you do have to return the money? So the Taz here fills in. So the Taz here fills in Sif Beis. Shelo al pi mumcha. So comes the Taz at the bottom of the page. He says, Nira, the dinze afilu imareyu lechacham acharkach umatza bo mum. So the Taz says, this seems like even if you showed to a chacham afterwards and he found the mum, still it's a problem. Kefisha nisker b'sif aleph, afilu hachi chayv lehachshir lo asadam. Still you have to return the money. Why? Even though this is only an Issur Rabbanan, uvesif kufyu tesla el kasav dechol sheisuro midivrei sofrim masha achol achol. Right, and we paskin in simin kufyu tes earlier. We'll take a look at that in a second. That anything that was usur midivrei sofrim, that was an Issur D'Rabbanan, what you ate, and we're done with. Mikol makom kivin she'asur hanahu, right? This is not just an isur achila. This is an isur hana. So therefore, afilu midivrei sofrim machzir hadamim kimavur sham. Even if it's only an isur d'rabbanan, because there's an isur hana attached to it, so then he has to return the money, right? Then he has to return the money. So why should that be? Meaning it's still only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and the whole thing was done b'shogeg, so why does he have to return the money? So it becomes a little bit clearer. If you go to Simen Kuf Yutes. So I think that is also one of the pages on the sheet over there. Yeah, it's a page that is almost entirely Shach and Taz. Kuf Yutes Sif Yud Dalad. There, that page right here.
I think I see.
Page 4 or 5? No.
Is this, what sif is it?
Page 4.
Page Kuf Chav Tess on the upper left.
Kuf Yud Tess.
Kuf Yud Tess, yeah, yes, okay, I got it.
All right, so Simen Kuf Yud Tess here, it says, Hamocher Basar Ba'achar Kach Noda Shabehima lo nivdaka kahuga. Right, so this is another example of an Issa D'Rabbanan. So you sold meat, and afterwards it becomes known that the animal wasn't checked appropriately, right? The lungs weren't checked. So dino kimocher dvarim shasur medivrei sofrim. So that has the halacha of something that was sold that had an Issa D'Rabbanan attached. Now, you could make the case that it would be an Issa D'Oraisa, right? You could make a case that it would be worse. But no, we're assuming that it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, right? Because the merely maker then, the animal would be okay, mutter to eat D'Oraisa without checking it. So comes the Raman, says, V'imachalo davar mi behema she'isra cheskas kashrusa, diz yalid ba reyesa. Now, if the animal actually had a reyesa, it actually had a problem with it, right, that you had to look into, v'lo yichol livdok, and you just weren't able to check it, imhi kashera, v'tzrichim la'asra, and you have to asra it misafik, afilu hachi, havi ki'ilu haisa vaday trefa, v'tzarech lachzor adamim. So then, that would be considered to be, like it would be a vaday trefa, and you would have to return the money. So the Taz here, though, adds in, where was it? I was able to track it down before. So Taz on the right side. Where was it? Where was it? Someplace in here. He dug it out. He connected this to... I can't find it. But the answer that he had is that, well, when it comes, because the Isser of, if it's an Isser Bahana, so then why does he get his money back? It's not about the guy who ate it, it's about the guy who sold it. Right? The guy who sold it now is left holding the bag with this item that was an Isser Hana Midrabanan. Right? So the guy who shechs the animal, right? So he shechs the animal, and then doesn't get checked. Or in our case, he shechs the animal before it was checked and to have a mum, and lo and behold, it does have a mum, but we tell him you're not allowed to sell it. But meanwhile, the guy already sold it. Right, so apparently, not only is it an Isser Achila, it even has an Isser Hana attached to it. So now, this guy who sold, so he sold it, and now he's got the money. So who's benefiting right now from this? Right, there's still one, right, the guy, it's already eaten, the food is already gone, it was already eaten. So that guy, the buyer benefited from it, but he benefited from it only on a Durabana level, right, he ate it, and it's gone now. The money still exists. Right, the guy who actually violated the Isser and sold the meat, he's holding the money, right? And that money now has an Isser Hana attached to it, right? He violated the Takana by selling the animal. The animal really has an Isser Hana attached to it. And now he's holding the money that he got from selling it. So it comes to Taz and says, that money has to be given back. Because otherwise, that's considered to be mutter getting Hana from this... From this sale that took place off of the shechting of the animal that he wasn't supposed to, that we he was unauthorized to shecht before right. He did so.
I understand that, but the person who ate it also got hana.
Yeah, but that hana's gone already. That's just food.
That's her gone.
And he didn't do anything wrong.
Once it's gone, then he doesn't have that. That issue didn't exist.
Right. Right. And he also didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he's an innocent bystander. I mean, he happens to, at the end of the day, he's the one who benefits the most. Plus, he got a free lunch. He got a free steak out of it, right? he got the steak, he ate it, and now he gets to demand his money back, right? But the guy who actually did something wrong, so he's the one who's got, we got to make sure that he never actually benefits from it. So if he's sitting there with money from the sale, so then that money has to be given back in order for him not to benefit from that sale that took place.
But that's the middleman. What about the shochet?
Considering the shochet and the seller to be the same. The laser wolf is the same guy.
Oh, same guy. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if there is, if you get past that guy, meaning if there is a, you know, then there's a supplier, and then there's a distributor, and then there's a, you know, then the wholesaler, and then the. And then the store,
all
right?
Of them have a hana, and it still exists.
Right, right. So at some point, right. So how does that all get tied in? Yeah, I don't know. The Shulchan Aruch wasn't discussing a mass distribution shechita at that time.
Basically, what comes out is the guy. If it doesn't exist, that hana doesn't exist anymore. Then issa doesn't exist. I mean, it doesn't have to go back. He didn't do anything wrong.
That second guy, right. I mean, you could have said, well, that money, Shahara says, v'yachzul odam, you have to return the money. So you do, that's what we're asking, you do return the money. Now you could say, well, maybe the money has to be, yelech liyam hamelach, right? You have to throw it out into the ocean or something like that, right? And nobody could get hana from it. But that he didn't do anything wrong. So he just gets his money back and that's it. He's in a good deal. He's okay, right. Right. Okay, so that is sif. Now, there's also an issue here. It's interesting. The Taz here also discusses, we often don't do the Taz as much as the Shach, but here the Taz seems to have things to say. The Taz here, what about the burial? He says, right, adam lo achluhu, you cover v'yachshu lehem damim, right? So you have to bury it and return the money. So what do you mean? If the animal still exists, you got to bury it. So comes the Taz and says, "Who buries it? Who's responsible for burying it?" So near the yachzur lemocher, right? Meaning when we say that you return it to the seller, meaning you get the money from the seller.
Where are you now?
Taz. Oh, sorry. In Shin, back in Shin Yud. And the Taz in the bottom, Shin Yud Sif Gimel. So he says here, Nira de Yachzur Lemocher, Gimel at the bottom. I mean, there's Taz Shintes, and then there's Simon Shintes, and there's Shin Yud. So three lines from the bottom. He says, Nira de Yachzur Lemocher, Ba Mocher Yikberenu, right? And the seller is the one that needs to bury it. So Lomi Ba Yim Mocher Chafetz Bekach. He says, now, you know, when it comes to this burial of this animal, so there's two aspects to it. One is it's a pain in the neck, right? You got to go, you know, try burying an animal, right? You got to get a permit, you got to get a, you know, permission and everything, right? It's a pain in the neck. So one hand is the burial of it. The other part is it's also a mitzvah, right? So he says, Satan says, look, if the seller wants it, so certainly he can have it back, meaning it's his animal. He's giving the money up, so now he's got this animal. So now he's got this mitzvah. So he says, okay, great. I'll go and bury it and be Mekayim in the mitzvah of getting rid of Bechor and, you know, should be a kapara that I didn't listen to the rabbis and, you know, shechted an unauthorized shechita. Right? The chayiv l'teit lo dehu rotzel kayim ha-mitzvah. Right? Like in Perek HaChovel, shuri haraga ta'ata marta li lohorgo, Pater Mokila Bishorha Omid La Riga Vakatoin Le Anabaina Lemiavin Mitzvah Mamoni. Right, I want to do mitzvahs with my mamon. I gotta look up the Gemara. I guess Daf Yomi will get up to that in about about 2.5 months or 2 months, right? We'll figure out what that halacha is then. Right? Hakanami, so too here, Kane Hubasar Zeh with this meat, Ha Omid Lakfura, right? The issue isn't when he wants it, it's not who gets the right for the mitzvah. We're not really dealing with like big tzaddikim here that are fighting over who gets the privilege of burying this meat. Mikomakum hatircha alav, right? It's also a pain in the neck. So Kevinchu ha goris lzeh. Then maybe I would say he shouldn't get it back because we're concerned that he that Yeah, then maybe he'll eat it. He says, no, we're not concerned that he's going to eat it. Oshim karen, or me, he's going to sell to somebody else. Achasher osur olav. Vafal pishem itchila machru be'isser, lo dami kodem she'isuro alav, the hayasavar she'ish heter lishchot al pimum. He thought maybe there was a heter, but now he's been taught right. Shalo hira lachacham, v'yadinen be'i demezid hu, nir de'bezev vade machrizinan aleha, shalo liknos basar yemenu. Right, and certainly if he would try to go ahead and sell it, he's going to get in a lot of trouble, because we're going to publicize that this guy is a terrible guy, and no one, yeah, it wasn't an innocent mistake anymore. At this point, it becomes a real issue. Right, we're not where he's going to go ahead and do it. So therefore, the Taz says, give him his meat back, let him, and certainly if he wants it, you give it back to him, because he's going to bury it. And even if he doesn't want it back to bury, still, anyways, it's his responsibility to get that meat back and bury, and don't be concerned that if you're giving him the meat back, he's just going to go ahead and do it with somebody else. He'll just take the meat and sell it to some, and, you know, repackage it and sell it to somebody else, because then he's going to get in deep, deep trouble, and he's going to lose his whole parnasa, and it's not worth it anymore. You know, and certainly at that point, it's not going to be worth it for him. Yeah, Sif Gimel deals with that if you are not a mumcha, but you saw it anyways. Meaning, Sif Aleph and Beis had to do with Laser Wolf, figured that he was a mumcha, and he shechted it on his own. Sif Gimel is, let's say he called his local Orthodox rabbi over, and the rabbi said, yeah, looks like a mum to me, right? And he shechted based off of him. So the rabbi had no business giving that psak, right? We'll see in Simon Shin Yud Beis that you actually have to have three people make the psak together, that it's no good. So in Sif Gimel, the rabbi gave a psak, and the rabbi was wrong in giving the psak. So the Sif Gimel actually says that he has to pay. That he has to pay for that loss. You cover Yishayim Beiso, right?
Yes.
Well, the rabbi, yeah, that's why the shul pays for my malpractice insurance, just for this case, right? You cover Mishalim Beis, so you'd have to pay. And how much does he have to pay? He says, in Eretz Yisrael, he has to pay Mishalim Begasa Chatzi Damav, Ubadka Revia Damav, Ubadaka Revia Damav, that he has to pay half price when it comes to a Gasa, or if it's a Daka, he pays a quarter of the price. But nowadays, and even Eretz Yisrael, Ein Rov Sado Shel Yisrael Mutar Legadol Behema Daka Afilu Beretz Yisrael Hilkach Afilu Beretz Yisrael Af Bedaka Mishan Chatzi Damav. This has to do with I think there's an Isser in raising animals of some sort in Eretz Yisrael. I forgot what that is. But he says, but either way, nowadays you don't have to worry about that. What is the difference? Why is there a different price for? Yeah, here in the Shach mentions that there's an isser to raise behemos dakos in Eretz Yisrael. I forgot what the reason is.
They eat up all the grass or something, or remember they destroy the land.
Yeah, right. Okay, I don't remember, but either way, when it comes to dakos animals, you have them graze. They go other places in order to eat, so therefore they're not as expensive to raise as gassos, which stay on your own land and eat your own property. So therefore, the gassos, if the rabbi gave you bad instructions when it came to the gassa animal, he owes you more money than if he gave you bad instruction when it came to the daka animal. Okay, so we'll conclude this week the same way we did. We concluded 2 weeks ago. Simon Shin Yud Beis deals with the isser for the rabbi to paskin these shilas, meaning the rabbi is somewhat of a nogeya bedavar when it comes to these issues. If his balabas is coming to him and say, "Rabbi, I've had this animal schlepping around my yard for the last 2 years. Is it a mum already?" So the rabbi might be, he has an interest in appeasing his balabas. He also, maybe, does he get paid for it? Meaning, can the rabbi get paid for paskening shilas? And certainly, can he get paid if he might have a financial interest in paskening shilas? Meaning, he might have an interest. If he says, no, I don't think that's a mum yet, so then the guy is going to have to bring it back to him another month later, and he might get charged again, right? So maybe the rabbi has an interest in saying, in being machir, because that way he'll get more shilas and get paid more. On the other hand, he might have an interest in being lenient, because maybe it's a flat fee, and he doesn't want to deal with it anymore, so therefore maybe the rabbi is persuaded to be more makil than he otherwise should be. So how do you deal with paying a rabbi the paskin shailas? So that's the topic of Shin Yud Beis Sif Aleph, which I thought we'd get to, but apparently we'll save that for next week. Okay, good evening.